Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember God's Word? The Bible gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality? Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian? What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood as we once again face the issues. You're invited each day, Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock, as we face the issues on the air. It's a question and answer open mic broadcast, giving you, the people, the opportunity to call in, you, our listeners, to participate in the discussion. We're going to be discussing in a few moments the origin of marriage. What does the Bible say about marriage? Who is authorized to marry? What about marriage license? When did they start? What was the purpose of issuing marriage licenses in order for a person or a couple to get married? As we think about the issues, though, we need to recognize that the Scripture is the truth. Jesus himself said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." In John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, that which makes us free is the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. So therefore, when we look at facing the issues, I do so from a biblical worldview. It is what is called being a central biblicist. Now, I don't know if I coined that word, originated that word, or found that word, but I've used it for the past 20 or 30 years. I'm a central biblicist. What does the Scripture say? So that you'll understand a little better with that statement. I don't really care what Baptists think, Methodists think, Presbyterian, or any other denomination. The Bible does not teach denominationalism, but it teaches God's Word. It's a matter of what God's Word says, the first, foremost, and final authority on what we do in life. One of the problems that we have found is that we have strayed so far away from the Word of God. It says, in the days of the judges, every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And somehow, some way, as Americans, we've come to believe that the 9 unelected Supreme Court justices are the mouthpiece of God. And therefore, whatever they say, there's a mindset even among Christians that we ought to adhere to it. We ought to believe it. We ought to say yes to it simply because it is, quote, the law of the land. Well, there's a whole lot to be said about that, but suffice it to say, we need to see what God's Word says on any issue. This is the reason we call it Let's Face the Issues. When it comes to the issues, we invite you to participate in the dialogue and the discussion. You can call us at 904-401-1413. For our first 3 callers today, we're going to offer a free book. The title of the book is A Nation on Trial. A Nation on Trial. It is excerpted from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. It deals with a verse-by-verse study of Isaiah chapter 1. And I'll talk about it a little more in a minute as to the overview of the book. But I invite you to call. Ask your biblical question. Ask your question about the issues that we're faced with on the local level, the slot machines that the city council is planning on doing a referendum for the people to vote on to put into our city and destroy our families. What's your thoughts? What are you thinking? What have you done, moms and dads? What have you done, pastors, preachers, teachers, biblical scholars? What have you done in response to Dr. Vitti and his fiat decision to follow the encyclical, if you will, from the White House that says that all bathrooms ought to be open and allowing our kids at school that's supposed to be there to be protected and to be safe. They're there to be learning academics and not to be there as an incubator of moral, ethical, social change. But under Dr. Vitti and the school board, and may I say, if this school board allows this to stand, it would be, go down in my book, is the sorriest school board that Duval County's had since I've been here since 1980. So I don't mind saying, call the school board and say to each school board member, I demand as a parent that you cease and desist putting my child at risk. Our sons and daughters, our little girls in particular, that go into a shower or a bathroom or a locker room at school or any school endeavor, whether it's on campus or off campus, where the showers and the bathrooms and the lockers are open for the perverts and the pedophiles and the transsexuals and the transvestites and all of those that are the perverts and pedophiles to go in and look or to photograph or to in some way harm or put in harm's way or danger. May I furthermore say that we need to take a stand and demand that the school board do something about it. Best thing they can do, by the way, is say to Dr. Vitti, you're fired. Put him on a ship someplace other than Jacksonville, Florida. We do not need someone at the head of the, at the helm of our school system that's going to destroy the morals and ethics and the values in our homes through the destruction of our children that are precious in the sight of God, that he's given us as special, precious gifts from God. May I also take a moment to invite you for this Sunday. We're having an exciting day, a celebration of Independence Day, Sunday, July the 3rd. During this July the 3rd celebration for Independence Day, we're going to have some wonderful gospel singing by the Groves Family Singers. They'll be in concert. Wonderful gospel music. Some of the finest patriotic music that you'd hear. And then we're going to have the reenactment of Patrick Henry's famous speech, where most of you will recall the words, give me liberty or give me death. Harry McKay travels across the nation dressed as Patrick Henry, playing the part of Patrick Henry, giving that famous speech. It's about 20 to 22 minutes in length, but it is from total memory with great passion and emphasis. He will give the context and the setting, the place and the reason, the rationale behind the setting and what he's saying. And then following that will be a message from the Word of God, challenging us as a nation, challenging we the people to be sure that we are obeying God and realizing how easy it is to forget God and to leave God on the sideline. And then we'll have lunch together in the church lunchroom. We'll have barbecue. There'll be a small fee charge for the barbecue. Love to have you. Looking forward to it. We invite you to call at 401-1413. Ask your questions. Participate. This is, keep in mind, this is a question and answer broadcast. It is designed to elicit your input, your questions, your ideas, your suggestions. It's not just as a monologue, but a dialogue for you to participate as we talk about these serious subjects. Let me announce one other thing. On July the 22nd, 23rd, that's on a Friday night, 6:30 to 9:30, and then all day on a Saturday from 9 till 5, we'll have a seminar that is sponsored by our university, Conservative Theological University. It will be on the subject of protecting God's church. It'll be on church security. Most are not aware of the number of into the hundreds of churches that have been violated with armed gunmen coming in to rape, rob, pillage, and steal in our churches. Churches are considered soft targets because they're generally unarmed. I say to all churches, you need to have a good security team. Security team needs to be well-trained, needs to understand the circumstances, the situation, and the problems. Churches are generally considered a soft target because they're unarmed. Open door, if you will, for terrorists and the mentally challenged person that's seeking revenge against the preacher or against someone in the church. Many times it's simply because of that dear pastor that's simply preaching the truth of the Word of God, and someone that is against that particular word that's going forth won't come in and harm and destroy. This is a wonderful seminar on church security. Who should attend this seminar? Senior pastors, church security teams, ushers, deacons, associate pastors, church staff members, church greeters, Sunday school teachers, parking team members. There's a requirement of registration. You can go online and look us up, or you can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The cost is $99 per person for attendance. There's a reduced cost for increased numbers coming from an individual church, 2, 3, 4, 5 members of your security team. But I can tell you, it will be the most informative, the greatest benefit seminar that you could send your people to. Pastors, if you're listening, put together the security team. Call the university office. Make your registrations by telephone or go online. But most of all, you can call it 1-800-GO-BIBLE and put this thing to rest so that you'll know that your people. You see, we the pastors, we have the responsibility of protecting the flock of God that God has given us charge and responsibility over. And it's an impossibility to do so, dear pastor, dear Christian. It's an impossibility to do the protecting in 21st century society if somehow, some way, there's a warped understanding that you ought not to have guns in a church. You ought not to be armed in a church. You ought not to take advantage of God's word, the doctrine of self-defense. Well, so much for that. Let me just say to us that we're looking forward to our Independence Day celebration, and we'd love to have you with us. You can call us at 401-1413. Discuss any subject you'd like to, theologically, doctrinally, or biblically, socially, or politically, as it is called. I don't even like the term political speech. All speech is free speech. All speech is to be open and freely available to us all, whether it's in the pulpit or in the pew, whether it's on the street or the sidewalk or in our homes or in some other public arena or in venues that are normally viewed today by the politically correct group, that you can't say certain things. Did you realize that when it comes to prayer, a pastor, a preacher, or a Christian has the right to pray publicly and openly without any fear of intimidation or correction or in any way the infringement on what you say in a prayer, even if it may be on public grounds, federal grounds, public property, etc.? The courts have already ruled that you cannot in any way say what a man of God, a Christian, can say as he speaks to God in open prayer. May I remind us that there's a major movement in America to prevent that. We also want to announce to you that we're looking for 6 to 10 summer interns to serve during the course of the summer months, that you can come in and participate. There are several areas: transcription of manuscripts, technologies, building and grounds, computers, pulpit training. We'll provide the church, First Conservative Baptist Church, will provide a small stipend for your expenses, and will provide for you a 100% tuition scholarship for Conservative Theological University for your Bible college work. Let me remind us, you can call us at for that. You can call the church office, or you can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and talk about the seminar for the university-sponsored seminar. But let me tell you briefly before we get into the subject of the origin of marriage. The origin of marriage. Let me remind you again, for the first three callers, the nation, a nation on trial. A nation on trial. And it's dealing with the text in Isaiah chapter 1 and some of the problems that they were having in the days of Isaiah when that text was written. National rebellion was taking place. There was no recognition of God, no restraints on living and lifestyle. There were no relationship with God. There was no, even when God gave an opportunity for them to confess their sins and return back to God, there was no return. Part of the problem was, in the broader charges that God's word brings against them of that day, they had no sense of moral awfulness. Nothing was too wicked. Nothing was too ungodly. Nothing was too immoral for them to recognize the moral awfulness of it. And then in the midst of all of that was political anarchy. And may I simply say, the subtitle of the book is America Stands Before God. And it's simply because as writing the text, as publishing the book. I have a passion for our nation and where we are in our nation, where we are morally, ethically, biblically, and politically, and there's a need for us to turn back to God before it's eternally too late. By the way, just one other little small tidbit, perhaps you've already read or heard on the news, Trey Gowdy, Representative Gowdy just issued their final statement and findings, 800-page findings, by the way, on the Benghazi report, as it's called. Gowdy said that they had received no information that they had asked for from the White House. They had been waiting and waiting and waiting, so they decided to go ahead and issue the report, realizing that Obama's not going to supply it. Very little was supplied from the Hillary Clinton State House, the State Department. Nothing was, very little was included in that. And so I believe it's my opinion that Hillary Clinton would be very, very dangerous to be president. If she is known to be deceptive and fraudulent, why should we want her in the White House as president of the United States of America? Now, you, I reckon, understand immediately with my statement. You recognize where I'm going in my ballot when I stand in the voting booth of how I'm going to vote. But let's turn to a thought. I'd said last week that we'd be looking at two major issues during the course of this week, the origin of marriage, and the other will be that we'll look at later this week, religious liberties. What are religious liberties? What are those liberties? What do we have the rights to do as Christians, as citizens in America? But let me say this. Let me ask a question by introduction. Should a sodomite couple have the right, not R-I-T-E, but the right, the R-I-G-H-T, the right of having holy matrimony, that is, having a marriage ceremony and being considered marriage? Where did the holy matrimony first appear? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 and following. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. May I remind us that if you just analyze the biblical text, you can't take a sodomite man and another sodomite man and say he was taken out of the side of the man, and therefore he has the right to holy matrimony. That is the most ludicrous, ungodly, unholy, immoral philosophy that the world's ever faced. Now you say, well, you're pretty harsh on the sodomites. Yes, I am, because it's unbiblical. Keep in mind, we're talking about let's face the issues, and as we face the issues, we're doing so with the truth, which is called the Word of God. May I remind us, God gave us holy matrimony, not government. The world has said, okay, the sodomites can get married. That's okay. There's nothing, however, though, in the Word of God that will authorize a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a man. In fact, the Constitution doesn't even authorize it. Contrary to public opinion, the U.S. Extreme Court, not Supreme Court, Extreme Court, ruled that sodomites can be married. Well, that does not mean that it's the law of the land. I am astounded by the sheer immaturity of the founding documents and what our nation is founded on, and or the sheer ignorance of our founding documents and our founding fathers. The Constitution does not provide for, not a word even out of context in the Constitution, provide for sodomite marriages. The U.S. Extreme Court, just out of whole cloth, it's called fiat finding, they simply invented a philosophy and then claimed it was in the Constitution with the right to have sodomite marriages. Listen very carefully. Go back to every Supreme Court decision, and you will find it's referred to as the Supreme Court opinion. Opinion. Study your Constitution, and you will find that a U.S. Supreme Court opinion can either be accepted or rejected by the executive branch. Unfortunately, we've had very few presidents in recent years that had the spinal intestinal fortitude to take a stand and say to the U.S. Supreme Court, we're not going to accept your opinion. But keep in mind, I challenge you to prove that I'm wrong. I challenge you to show that my statement is incorrect. The Constitution gives the executive branch the right and the authority to say no, no, no to any Supreme Court, as I call it, extreme court, opinion. It's simply the court's opinion. But the courts have used their opinion and their position to destroy the home. Keep in mind, God gave us three institutions. The first institution that God created is the home. And marriage formulates and forms the basis for the home. What's the purpose for holy matrimony in the Scripture? That we as individuals, a man and a woman, can marry and can procreate and plenish the earth, provide others that can also come to know Christ as Savior and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an impossibility with a sodomite marriage. Now listen very carefully. Here's a little unique point that I want you to think about. Feel free to call in and ask questions about it, comment about it. 401-1413, 401-1413. The first three callers will get this free book, wonderful book, A Nation on Trial. We will ship it to you free and postage paid. You call in and leave word with our station operator on the board. She will take your name, address, and phone number, transmit that to us, and we'll see that you get the book, A Nation on Trial, America Stands Before God. But call in and ask your question, have dialogue so that she can do so, be delighted to have a discussion with you. But where I'm going with this, marriage, holy matrimony, not just a marriage license, holy matrimony originated with God in God's Word. Originally, marriage authorizations and what would be called today marriage certificates were issued by the church, and then it was turned over to the states. Let me just tell you this. Marriage license application records from government authorities are widely available starting from the mid-19th century. I'm reading from a brief article that I printed to restate to you. Some marriage licenses have been required since 1639 in Massachusetts. Some records go back to the 17th century in colonial America. They were gradually expanding from the 1639 in Massachusetts to eventually cover the nation. Now, the question begs to be asked, why did the churches relinquish this to the states? And it's because the states came in on the premise that we need a marriage license issued by the state first to have a record or a census of the married couples in our counties or in our cities. They wanted to keep up with the number of families to be able to, quote, take care of the families that may have a particular need, primarily for a census, to know how many couples, how many families lived in a county or in a particular jurisdictional area. That was the original purpose. And the churches relinquished the right over to the state. And the states then have aggressively changed and modulated and modified the requirements ever since. And now it is used as an authoritarian rule over the couples that want to get married. Just as recent as last year, where there was a big furor where a clerk of court was arrested and in prison, put in jail, because she refused to issue a holy matrimony certificate, a marriage license, to a sodomite couple. May I say that every county in America needs to get out of the marriage license business and say that if you want to get married, you seek it outside the county's placing its authority and its blessings on it. Let's not call it holy matrimony. We've had sodomites in the world since God created man. They've always done their wicked, evil, immoral, unholy, ungodliness in the closet. In the recent years, they've come out of the closets, and Christians have gone in the closet. It's time that we, as moral, ethical beings, say enough is enough. We're going to take back the authority of holy matrimony. We're not going to allow the state to tell us how to operate under God's law and God's business of forming our families in marriage. Our homes and our families are being destroyed. primarily by this administration, the Obama administration. He's made an abomination out of our nation. No prayer in schools, no Bible in schools, no prayer at sports events. Teaching Islam in our schools. By the way, I'm going to discuss that later in this week. I understand that we have some textbooks in Duval County where Islam is being taught. And I invite you parents, study your students, your child's textbooks. Tell me if you have textbooks that even give a inkling of teaching Islam. I understand it's in some of the textbooks between the first and the fifth grade right here in Duval County. I want to see it. I've been told that. I have some documents on that, but I want to see the real thing. If you have a textbook where Islam is being taught in Duval County public school textbooks, I'd love to have information on it. Facsimiles of the pages are the textbooks that I could review. May I remind us, murder by way of abortion, already murdered 55 million unborn babies. And the events that we see now with the degradation and the disintegration and the demise of the family, as we see the family's demise, we're seeing our nation being destroyed. May I remind us that we go back to, and perhaps you recall the name of Edward Gibbons. In 1787, he penned the words of the now famous book called The Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire. In his research leading to his book, he studied the Roman Empire, searching for how a nation could become so grand and then seemingly simply collapse. Just how could this happen? Could Gibbons' findings apply to America today, is my question. He gave five reasons. Let me simply, sir, give a little summary of them. First of all, the rapid increase of divorce, with the undermining of the sanctity of the home, which is the basics for our society. Second, higher and higher taxes, the spending of money for bread and celebration on things that's not needful for the public. Third, the mad craze for pleasure and sporting events each year would increase and increase. Fourth, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within and the decadence of the people destroying the nation. And fifth, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life, and becoming impotent to guide it. May I hasten to say that just as in the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, we're seeing that taking place. You may think that it's gradual, but it is absolutely an onslaught today that's really about to undermine and destroy the foundation of our nation. May I say thank you, thank you, thank you publicly to Attorney Wes White. Wes White, as you know, is running for the state attorney's office. Wes White has filed suit against Duval County School Board and against Dr. Vitti for the immoral, ungodly, open bathroom edict that they are putting on the backs of our families in Duval County. I pray that other concerned parents will come forth, do the same thing. We need about two dozen families that will file suit against the Duval County School Board and the school superintendent. May I remind us, it's the demise of our family. The family is the warp and the woof, the fabric of our nation. Keep on praying. Keep on looking up. Scripture says, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. May I remind us tomorrow at the same time as we once again face the issues. We're looking forward to your dialogue. Thank you, and God bless you. See you on the air tomorrow.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. and multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.